Yahoo!
I can't start without my Bible, and Peggy has my Bible. So, I've illustrated on the board, can you all see that? 8 different items that are major items in the last days. It could be 100, but just 8 significant issues. If you remember these, it'll give you what's ahead, what is between now and eternity, which is now, and all of this is head after 2. Everything 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, all of that is ahead of you, and that's over 1,200 days or more. And so we're not there yet. We're not in the end times yet, but we're in the last of the last of those end times. And what I want to teach you today, when Peggy brings my Bible, is about being up in the air, because a lot of people misunderstand that. When Jesus comes back again, he ends the tribulation, because they tried to say they would be the fulfillment of the last half of the week, Daniel's 70th week, Shabuah. Shabuach is 7. It's just 70 times 7, 490 years. And so the enemy wanted to fill that place, just like the wicked are doing today, the lawless people. They just want to say, we're what you're looking for. As a matter of fact, they're not. So Jesus comes and ends that and takes us immediately up in the air. So the first thing that happens when he does, you'll never see this earth again, ever. So when you leave, it's just like that's gone. But we'll be in the air, the lower part of heaven, not the upper, the lower part of heaven. And that lower part is what we rule over. So you rule, you see these... a number 5 up here. God's in the heaven. He's in 7th heaven or whatever, the highest heaven. And then we're here, the Lamb and his bride, and then the 12 tribes of Israel who are not with us, because there'll be Jew and Gentile up here in the Lamb's bride. There'll both be Jewish, the 144,000 that you read about in the book of Revelation, and they'll also, out of every a tribe, 12,000. And then also, you will see that a numberless host, us, will be there too. And so that means God kept his promise to Israel. When he met Abraham, he promised him some of your people, your seed, blood seed, will be there in the millennium. It's a promise. And then, but also we, the Gentiles, because the purpose of Israel was to be a light to us, and they weren't. So they are kind of a light, but it's only if you read it according to the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. Anyway, we'll be caught up into heaven, so as soon as he comes back, our judgment is over. You don't go to the 7. But they have to go all the way to the 7. So the wicked who will go all the way to the 7, their time is time ends right there on that blue line. Time ends right there, and the rest is eternity, which is the new heavens and the new earth, and it's actually us. We actually are it says the bride descends from heaven, from God. It descends from heaven to earth, and we're the Holy of Holies. We're the sacred place where God dwells, the temple of the living God. I know you don't all understand it, because this is brand new, and much of the teaching in the past has not been accurate, because there's no way you could know these secret things which are being revealed. I say right now, I'm sharing it so that you see this. Here's Peggy. And so it'll be powerful. Now, so I want you to
grab
this one.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, so I want you to turn. I read the whole book of Ephesians this morning, and also, but I want to begin in Thessalonians. So let's look at, and they both all relate to being caught up in the air. It says clearly that we're caught up into the air and will never return, clearly. So a lot of people realize, oh, we'll be here in Jerusalem or something. You know, you won't. You won't be here. And so I want to just impress with you that in the near future, it could be 5-10 years. Could be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be. In other words, that's the earliest it could be. Because a lot of things have to happen right now, and that is that we're a separated church from other Christians, even, not only other religions and non-religions. We're actually being separated by God right now, if you understand the gospel, and we're no longer part of the world. It's already taken place as we mature, as we perfect His love, perfect love, or the law of liberty, or all of those things. So this is powerful. So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So the world you now know will not be here, or it's here, but you're not the ones here. Because the tribes of Israel, which will be ruling from Jerusalem, they will actually receive the land that Abraham was promised. And they will actually rule over the Gentiles. They call them the nations, ethne. So the nations will be under them and will be over them that are under them. And then God will be over all. And so this is the way God originally created the world. When He originally created the world, this was the pattern. It never took place. Because all men sinned by conscience. You had a conscience that said don't. But then, not only that, but the Jewish people sinned because they never kept the law. Never, 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 never at any time. But some had faith, and those are written in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter. So you can read about some saints in the Old Testament, and they got there by faith. They got there totally by faith. So anyway, all right, now here we are.
First Thessalonians chapter 4.
Okay, here it is. For the rest, that is all of those that aren't us, for the rest, then, brothers, us, we beg you and we exhort in the Lord Jesus, this is chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. For the rest, then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus, even as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God, that you should abound more. Okay, so God has in mind not that you be born again. Born again is just the beginning. It's a process. It's not a one-time event. So born again means if you don't go forward, you will go backward. If you're born again, but you never grow because you didn't want to sit in chair 5, you didn't want to be disciplined, you didn't want to be growed up, you wanted to just stay juvenile. And because of that, many Christians, most of Christians, 90%, I don't have any idea what the number actually is, but whatever the number is, you're a remnant. You're just a small remnant. Are the only ones that'll be ready when He comes. You'll be the wise virgins. You'll be those that are like wheat instead of instead of the weeds. Remember those weeds that said, don't tear up the weeds because you might step on some of the wheat. That you're the wheat. The church is meant to be wheat, which means you'll be mature. Because God does all this. God matures you. God actually causes you to be holy. He not only forgives you, chair four, but he also fills you every day. Every day you're filled with the desire to be holy, to be righteous, to not join the world, join the culture, join the lawless ones. That are everywhere in evidence. I think a few years ago that would have been hard to conceive because lawlessness seemed to be everywhere, even including here. And now it's here, and now it's everywhere. And so the lawless ones aren't going to go away. Y'all understand that? The lawless ones, just pull away from them. Don't punish them. Don't be mad at them. They don't even know any better. So don't judge them. Don't judge them. You can judge what they do, but don't judge them, because their potential could be Christians. You don't know how many could repent at the last minute. So don't judge them. Just pull away so that when he starts to judge them, some might repent. Some might repent and just say, hey, wow, being lawless is not so cool. But right now, the whole world is caught up in lawlessness. It's caught up in corruption, you know, immorality, all that kind of stuff. Even Christians. Christians also are caught up in the same kind of stuff that the world does. They divorce, we divorce. They do this, we do this, and so on and so forth. So families are torn apart by this because it's not God's order. It's not being in order with God. Anyway, you see this, that there's no way the New Testament teaches just be born again, that's it. I'm telling you, and I don't know who else is telling you, but I'm telling you, you have to be holy. In fact, perfect. And since you don't do perfect, even as a Christian, you don't do perfect. How many know Christians are not perfect? I mean, that's obvious. Since you don't do that, but God doeth, God does perfect. And so anything God does, you're just the branch. He's the vine. The vine produces the fruit. The branch didn't produce the fruit. Cut off the branch, doesn't bear fruit. So God, since God does everything, he saves you, then he sanctifies you, then he glorifies you, and he does it all until you're perfect and ready for your reward. That in number four up there, that's when that happens for you. Soon as Jesus comes back, boom, immediately you're taken up. Immediately you're taken up. Though he paid the dowry when he died on the first coming, number one. He died then, he paid the dowry for his bride. We're his bride. And now when he's coming back, he's coming back to see, how's my bride? How is my girl? How are you doing? You know, and she'll say, I'm ready. And if you're not ready, not good. You're a foolish virgin. You live too much in the world. You tried to combine church and state. You tried to combine two things that don't go together, which is the law. That's what government's all about. Government's all about law, and that's why all the churches in America mostly, not totally, mostly are under the law of the state. You have to ask the state permission. May I? Can I do this? And so the churches are no longer free like our founding fathers intended, 1776, and like Texas intended, 1836. Intended, absolutely. So all the documents read like you're free. We're the government, we're your trustees, you know, we serve you, but you're the ones that we're all about. The founders lived that way, but it didn't last long. It didn't last long, and it became corrupted, Civil War, all that kind of stuff. And so wicked people eventually realize, hey, America's winning. Let's learn their secret. Let's join them. And these were people that, you know, had no intention to behave. And immigration did a lot of that. By immigrating people that weren't you know, born again. Most of Europe was corrupted. Not all, but most. And only England held out for liberty. They didn't do it, by the way. They just believed in the concept. But America, here's the place, and the founders knew that. You have to read Jefferson, you have to read Madison, and all these guys. They understood that. Hey, settle the first item of business and politics is what you do with God, what you do with religion. Let them go free. In other words, rather than persecute them and, you know, have them, anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted anyway. But the government refused to do it, just especially the national government. And that's why the First Amendment says, you know, it's not going to do anything to make the churches submit to the government. Why? Because God is God. That's, they all believe that. Everyone. Even Jefferson and even Benjamin Franklin and so on. Even though they weren't Christians like we were, they believed in morality. Kind of, if you become a Christian, you're moral. And that's, most pastors believe that. How do I know? Because they can't tell the difference between someone who behaves themselves in the flesh and someone who is led by the Spirit. Can't. Not, churches aren't even arranged that way. But here, we teach you have to be perfect to go to heaven. And since you don't do it, you're just a branch. He's the vine. So abide yourself in the... Don't worry about the fruit that comes out. Just worry about having spiritual faith in God. So... This, I'm sorry I'm wasting so much time, but I want you to see this is Jesus' first coming, number one. And then there's the church age, number two. This church age has lasted 2,000 and more years. So the church age, Ephesus and Smyrna and, you know, Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and so on and so forth, Philadelphia and now Laodicea. So those are the seven churches, and the word is not day or age, you know, this. It's eon, E-O-N. An eon is not a specific time. It's just whenever this lampstand controls you, like, remember in Ephesus, you don't remember this, but I'll tell it to you. You don't remember that the first century... From 4 BC when Jesus was born until 30 AD when he was killed, that first century, the word to it, and it goes all the way to 96 AD, 4 to 96, 100 years. They said, you've lost your first love. You had your love at first, but now you're falling away. So already the falling away took place right away. And it took 300 years for it to finally end until the second one, which was the Emperor Constantine in 312, crossed the Moldavian Bridge. I could tell you all the whole story, but just trust me that he is a bad guy. He is the seventh beast. You know, there was Egypt, then there was Assyria, then there was Babylon, then there was Persia, then there was Greece, then there was Rome, and Rome, and Rome. And so that was the first Rome. And then there's the Holy Rome. That's the second Rome. And then the third Rome, it hasn't yet come. We're in it. We're in it right now. We're in the third Rome, which is the New World Order and all that kind of nonsense that's going on today. And that's why Trump was elected president, because people hated globalism, that the whole globe controls us, the UN and all of its agendas and blah, 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 blah. And so you are completely, and the world is now gaga after that nonsense of being lawless, you know, just being corrupt. And businessmen are that way, but particularly our judges and so on and so forth. And that's why the Democrats always work with judges, because they can't do it by law. So skip the law, just have the judges rule in their favor. And now all of those tricks and games are up, you know, too bad. But you and I are under God, and if you have to suffer for your faith, and you do, if you have to suffer for your faith, and you do, anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. You're going to be, you know, mocked and laughed, even you yourself. That's why I'm wanting you to be mature so you don't beat yourself up. Stop it. Stop beating yourself. Oh, I'm a lousy Christian. You know, stop that. Stop that. I'm beloved of God. Get on the love side rather than I'm a lousy Christian side, you know. But most Christians are harder on themselves than they're harder on their neighbor. Right?
Yeah.
So Christians, you know, hate one another. I mean, Baptists can never get along. That's why they always split and so on and so forth. And so many of the denominations have lost their first love. Yahoo! this is powerful. So, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. For the rest, that is the rest of humanity, then, brothers, we beseech you, we exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God, that you abound more. So that's it. So the Bible's very clear. You have to be mature. You have to be perfected. So chair 4, 5, and 6. 4 is born again. 6 is you're a disciple, no longer a believer. Now you're a believer who is a disciple. And when a disciple is fully taught, he will be like the master, and you'll be like Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, body. And so I could illustrate it in a thousand ways, but you've already heard me illustrate. Okay, so the next word is for this, verse 3, and this is so powerful. For this is God's will, your sanctification. Chair 5. That's God's will. Justification by faith, that's not chair 4. You're justified by faith, but you still have your sins. But in sanctification, you're actually not sinning. God has removed some of your sins, and you are master over them rather than mastering you. And so you submit to God. Hey, God, whatever you say, I'll do. And I would like each of you to be that kind of Christian, is I want to be perfect. I don't even know what the word says, but whatever it says, I'm going to do it. And so what it says is behave yourself, but it doesn't say you behave yourself. It says God does that for you. God does that for. Why? Because Jesus is your righteousness. You're not righteous. Has anyone noticed that? I don't know if any of you are married. You kind of learn that right away. That you are a sinner and you're married to a sinner, even though you're a saint. Because just because you're a Christian, chair 4, you believe in Jesus, you still muck up all the time. Right? True?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. So amen is don't worry about it. That's not your issue. Your issue is not sin. He's already forgiven all your sins. All your sins have been forgiven. Forgiven. Why? Jesus is your righteousness. When you go before the judge, you're not going to name all the things, wonderful things you did. You're going to name all the wonderful things Jesus did through you, and that's why they glorify God rather than you. They don't glorify you because you did a good work. They glorify the Father, said him. You must be a child of God. Wow. So when that happens, you didn't do it. As a matter of fact, faith is never active in love. Faith in Jesus, there's no love that comes forth until the Holy Spirit begins to work on you and discipline you, train you to suffer, because you have to go against your will, your mind, your emotions, and all those kind of things that are in you. No, don't do that. Seek God, do what he says. Because Christians can be as nasty as anybody else. Right?
Right.
Not us. I mean, we're not talking about us. We're talking about Methodists. No, we're not talking about anyone. Christians can be in any denomination. It doesn't make any difference what denomination. Denominational is not God. God never created those things. They started out good, but they all ended up just in the trash basket. Let's say, for this is God's will, your sanctification. That's chair 5. That meaning you're going to grow up and sin doesn't control you anymore. For you to abstain from fornication. That's a big term. I won't, we know what it is morally, but it's also spiritually. This is spiritual fornication, which is the church joined to the state. It's a simple deal. And all the Lutherans are still that way, and Methodists are still that way, and, a lot of the mainline churches are still that way. They want the church, including right here, one of the presidents, recent, one of the presidents, the highway behind us is named after him, one of the presidents then decided in 1960, somewhere in there, whenever he became president, he decided after LBJ was killed to change what LBJ was about to do, because LBJ, even though he was a Democrat, he actually took seriously the presidency and decided he should be president of not just Catholics, but all people. And he was about to do things, in currency-wise and so on and so forth, and end what's going on, and they killed him. Murdered.
That's right.
Deliberate.
Kennedy.
Did I say Kennedy? Whatever. Anyway, the point is, that's all history, and it's provable. It's not only a theory, it's actually a fact. It's provable. Now, but the point is, all of this is to prepare us for Jesus' return. Forget Trump, forget everybody today. They're all part of God's rearranging the world secretly. You don't see it. But secretly, he's doing things that give you another chance to purify yourself as he is pure. So, that's his will. Each one of you to know how to possess his vessel. This is you. Possess his vessel, possess in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even also as the nations, that is, the Gentile nations, not knowing God, do. They live a godless life, and they don't do it this way. Not to go beyond or to overreach in the matter of his brother, because we're lovers, because the avenger concerneth all these things is the Lord, even as we told you before and solemnly testified. So what Paul is saying, Peter is saying, James is saying, all of them say, behave yourself, but you don't do it. God does it. Jesus is your righteousness. Remember Abraham? Abraham went to sacrifice his son, verse 22 of Genesis. He went to sacrifice his son, and God said, whoa, don't do it. Because God wants to sacrifice his own son, God himself. Because the son asked, hey, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham answered prophetically. He answered by God. He answered, God himself will provide for himself the lamb. He'll make his own lamb. And it's his son. For a burnt offering. In other words, God will pay for you. God doesn't want you to work. He doesn't want you to labor. He doesn't want you to be good. He wants to be all your goodness for you.
Amen.
He wants to just forgive you and not wait on you to behave. Because that ain't never happening. It's not going to happen. People don't. As age, goes on and so on, you get better. No, it's not happening. People become nastier and worry about things and so on and so forth. All right. So, for God did not call you to uncleanness. For God did not call you for uncleanness, but in sanctification. That is, that sin no longer rules you. That now you do the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do that just by being born again. I'm going to say it again. You can't just do this by born of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. When you receive Jesus, you're born of the Spirit. But that's just like having a baby. But that baby has to grow up And that's where sanctification takes place, where you actually learn to behave by watching your parent, by watching God. See what Jesus does, you does that. Whatever he does, whatever he says, you says, does, and so on. Now, that's how children learn. They learn your language because you speak, you know, Spanish, English, whatever you speak. They learn it. And since they learn it just by looking, it's passive. They're not trying to learn English. Teach me English. They're not trying to learn anything. They just listen and they say the words you say. They do the things you do. It's so simple, not hard at all. Never God ever wanted you to behave. I'm going to say it again. He never wanted you to behave. He wanted himself to behave. I'm going to say it again because you have to think about this. God didn't want you to behave. He wanted to keep his promise. He didn't want you to obey his law. He did not want you to obey his law. He does not want anyone to obey his law. He wrote the law for Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled it for you. So it's a sub. It's somebody that substitutes for you because everything Jesus does is perfect. He never did sin. He was tempted, but he never did sin. And we're tempted, and we sin. I mean, we're tempted to be angry at someone. We had an accident on the way here, by the way, this morning. I don't know what happened. We don't know. But anyway, this car smashed into another car, and the other car drove forward and then drove back into that car and then went down into the ditch and so on and so forth and escaped. I mean, they were fighting over something. And anyway, whatever it was, that was naughty. That was not good. That was not good. That was not a Christian thing to do. And I believe someone threw a can at somebody. I mean, it was road rage. You know, in other words, there was an accident up ahead, so the traffic was slowed down. But this guy must have bumped that guy, and this guy went, bam, into him, and then drove down the ditch so he wouldn't be caught. I think after much damage had been done, because we could hear crashes and so on and so forth. So they were playing some kind of tag. Anyway, that's not Christian. That's, you know, don't worry about what they did is wrong. It wasn't Christian. It's just all. It wasn't Christian. Because God does everything. And he teaches us to forgive one another. How many know your partner, your pals, your friends need forgiveness? How many know that?
That's right.
It's not a big deal. You just say, whether you're wrong or I'm wrong, I just want to say I'm sorry what I yelled in my voice or whatever. And just say, you know, God does all this. He is wonderful. He puts people together that don't get along.
Amen.
He puts people together that can't stand each other. Because sooner or later, that other person's going to sin. Has anybody noticed that in marriage? He just puts people together that are at each other's throats. And so on. It's okay. Just know that Jesus says you're righteous because of his righteousness. You're righteous because of his righteousness. So forgive your partner. And when they've done evil things and wrong things and nasty things, just forgive them. Why? Because God forgave you. Right? I mean, this is practical. This is practical. Don't hold people to your high standard because you don't even keep it yourself. So don't hold people to your high standard. Anyway, next verse. Verse 9. I'm also to where I want to be. And now, as to brotherly love, you have no one for me to write to you, for you yourselves are taught. Hey, that's good. You must be pals. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. How many know, this is going to shock you, so just be ready. Just tell the truth, Pastor. I'm going to tell the truth. If you're not a Christian, you don't love. I know nobody believes that, but anyway, it's true. The only way faith is active in love, if you have no faith, you have no love. So, but if you have faith in God, you're capable, for the first time, of loving. So if you're not a believer, a Christian, and a mature one, you're not going to have the love. And that's what he's coming back for, a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without anything, no sin, no... You have to be holy to go to heaven. How many know? You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it. You're passive. You're totally 100% passive in that. So misbehavior is not why people don't make it to heaven. Misbehaving is not it. It's the whole issue is not what you do, it's what God has done for you. He keeps his promise. He made a promise. Promises over time. Promises are not immediate. You don't give the dollar to somebody who gave you something. That's just barter. But that's not a promise. A promise is, I'll deliver this today, but you pay me tomorrow. A promise is time. And it's long time. In God's point of view, that's thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, he made a promise to Abraham. You will have Jewish people in heaven and we'll have Gentile people in heaven. That's us. We're the Gentiles mostly. And so there it is. So first coming, number one. Second coming, the seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis, and then Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. Those seven churches, they're each one has a sin except the sixth one. The sixth one has no sin. Why? Because we're part of that. We're part of that. Why? That's the Reformation. The Reformation, there's no sin in it. Everyone else has sin in them. Clear. Because they were Christians, but they weren't born again. The first church was born again, but they slipped back into legalism or license. They were not lovers. They didn't have any love. Why? Because they slipped back to legalism or license. And so you're under the law again, or you're just wild. And so if you don't grow, you cease back. You go back to where you were. So the fact that this church here, the only sin they had is you've lost your first love, but that resulted in Laodicea today. So, but this church was perfect. No sin was found in it by Jesus. He looked at it and said, I don't see any sin in this eon, E-O-N, in this era. I don't see any sin. And so that's all gone, and God's not going to repeat it, by the way. Nothing will be repeated. You're now at the end. Now, when the tribulation, I don't know how long, you know, how far it is, but it's not here today. But the great tribulation, where the beast and the Antichrist, the false prophet and his guy, reigned their terror, and that's what's happening today. And that would be 1,260 days, but it hadn't started yet. Hasn't started yet. And you know what the signal is? How many know the signal? We'll know when the Antichrist is there, because he's going to say something weird.
I'm God.
Yeah. He's going to sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem. He's going to sit there and say, I'm God. That's it. And you'll know it. I mean, it won't be like blurry. It'll be clear to everybody. He just took over. And so there's characters out there today that could easily do it because they're prophesying it. Every day they prophesy, we're going to take over and beat the Christians. Okay, great. ISIS and all those people. Let them do it. Whatever they're going to do. But you know what? When they're done with all their things, and by the way, if you're part of if you're part of Philadelphia Church, out of the Reformation. This is hard for Catholics because they have to give up their yoke of bondage thing of being under a law, being under the Pope, being under the teaching magisterium of the church and all that kind of nonsense. You can't do it. They're trying to keep the law like the Jews tried to keep the law. They didn't succeed. They won't succeed. Nobody ever succeeds because God doesn't want your righteousness. He wants his own. God's righteousness is a gift. It's free. It's just offered to you because you ain't perfect. Isn't that neat? I mean, he kind of tailor makes it for you. Is you're not perfect, so I'll do it for you. That's cool. I mean, he's the one offended, but he apparently isn't offended because he gives you a free gift. So that's cool that the one who's offended should get the payment, but he makes your payment for you and says, I paid for you. So you're free. And so you're free, but nobody has ever taken that seriously for the last 2,000 years, but you're still free today. And in Texas, freedom is freedom. A horseshoe is a horseshoe. I mean, that's it. When you just look at something, you don't think about it and so on and wrestle with it. You just say, I'm free. That's it. And Texas is the only state in the Union that really believes in this. There's a few people otherwise. But Texas is the one that says, no, we're one state under God. It's God. God's in charge here. We're not in charge here. Now, that's all the documents, but the reality is most of us still are playing games. And even here in Texas, you know, they're trying to take Texas. If they take Texas, they have everything and so on and so forth. But they failed. Too bad. How many know that God is still alive?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is still in charge. He's still in control of everything. As a matter of fact, not only that, the enemy has never won one thing, ever. Now, you may think he's doing awesome, but his stock looks up, but it's not. He's in the tank. He's in the tank. He's like California. He's like all the other states. They're bankrupt. Why? Because only here, because we still believe in God. And so 1836 settled it for us. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, it says, these are the words it says. This is paragraph 12. If you read it, it says this. The reason we don't like these guys, Santa Anna and all his crew, is because they want to impose Catholic on us. They want everyone to be a Catholic, and they're going to make sure it's not only the law, but they're going to enforce it. And then he came up to take their farms and take everything and so on and so forth and reduce them to slavery. So they wrote these words. Because the Mexican government denies to us the right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience. That's why we fight. So it wasn't economic, it wasn't political, it wasn't social. It just simply had to do with, you know, common sense. You got to be able to worship God. And we want to worship in our own way, free. We don't want to be bound by the state. We don't want the state to take charge of us. So every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Well, that's the very thing the Americans had said. But now the Texans are saying it with much experience because they watched America go down the drain in the first few years. And it wasn't long before James Madison died in 1835, the year before we became a republic. And then 9 years later, we became a state. And everything was accepted by the United States. Everything that was what we wrote down in our Constitution, they accepted it all. So our Constitution is stronger than any other state's.
Hallelujah.
You don't know that, but you have to know that. Is as powerful as we here still are the belt of the Bible or whatever, you know, we're the people. And anyway, so I think God raised up Texas exactly as the last founding father died off, because we're the only ones that are the true America. In other words, we're not just talking, we're doing it. And I wouldn't surprise me if Dallas were the first city that maybe in Texas where the revival would start. Mm-hmm. Lots of people in this town are fervent Christians, powerful in business and politics and whatever. Most of the Democrats control the state even here, and I hope John Wiley gets his comeuppance, because he is one of the ones that have ruined it, but there'll be others that replace that. They always cause problems because they're lawless. They just simply corrupt their way. And it's no big deal. It's just normal. But the truth is, a lot of businessmen, this is why your last mayor quit, because he realized, you know, this is hard for us to do anything. It's impossible for us. He thought he could do it. And then he ran for senator and so on and so forth. But I know him. And we've talked about these things. But he wanted to, you know, do something to make, you know, this part of Texas great. But we've lost our judges and we've lost all kinds of things because people are not paying attention right now. Now, as to brotherly love, you have no need for me to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, for you also do it toward the brothers in all Macedonia. But brothers, we exhort you to abound more and try earnestly to be quiet. That's a neat one. To be quiet. What is that? That is restrain yourself. Don't be so noisy. In other words, don't just say stuff. Whatever you've learned, keep it to yourself until it kind of ripens, until you realize, you know, I'm a lover. Because we love everybody. We're not mad at anybody. They're mad at us, but we're not mad at them. And try earnestly to be quiet and to do your own things and to work with your own hands as we have enjoined you, that you may walk becomingly toward those outside, that's outsiders, and that you may have need of nothing. You see, when you love your neighbor, any neighbor, even the wicked, we pray for the wicked all the time. Bless them, pray for them, love them. That's it. That's what you do to people that are neighbors that are obnoxious or whatever. You just pull away. Just pull away. Revelation 18:4. Just pull away so that when I judge her because of her, you know, all the plagues I'm going to put on her, I don't want you to be around. Just pull away. Then when I judge her, you'll be able to pray for them and to keep blessing them. We're not mad. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep. He's talking about dying. That you not grieve as the rest also. In other words, everybody else does. Not having hope. I had two funerals this week. Your dad, that was powerful. And then another lady, 95, in Fort Worth. And that was powerful, this Dora. And so on. It was powerful because we just tell the gospel, tell the good news, tell the truth. And don't varnish it up. Don't clean it up. Just say it like it is. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who sleep, that you do not grieve as others do, not having hope. We always have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so God will also bring with him all those who have fallen asleep, died, through Jesus. So, if he rose, you rose. The minute he rose, you rose. You're not going to rise someday. You've already risen in God's promise. God has already seen that. You're a believer now. And your faith will be active in love after God's finished with you. And you'll be a lover. You'll be precious. God is faithful to interrupt anything he wants to at any time. But he's faithful to do it in such a way that he often works by human hands so that you don't know it's God. I think that's God. I'm not sure it's God. But it's God. And God is actually arranging everything for his promise. Everything of his promise, he will have a numberless host in heaven. You cannot number them. So you'll be a remnant. The larger group is not you. You'll be a remnant of Jews and also of Christians. But you're the wise virgin. You're the ones that are ready when he comes back. Say, hey, I believe. I took the gift, you know. And if anything went wrong, it's you promised. You didn't keep your promise, you know. You can blame God because God promised to, if the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. That's Jesus' problem, not mine. Because if I don't grow, it's his problem because he said, I began a good work and I'm going to finish it. Well, let him finish. Right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. That brother's from Houston. He just traveled all the way just to hear what Fort Worth is saying and Dallas is saying. You know. But the truth is, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
There's nothing evil in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no lack of love in God. He's the only God that's real. All the other gods put laws on you, pressure on you. We're the only free people. We're the only free people. And if you let it go, you let it go. You can't get it back. But if you keep it, it'll be kept. And we keep it. Period. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him all those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. That's us. For we say this to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who remain at the coming of the Lord, not at all will go before those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those that are fallen asleep will precede us. Those that are fallen asleep will precede us. And we who are alive at his coming, I'd like to be, I don't know that I will be, but I'd like to be. I'd like to see, you know, all that stuff that I believe in, but, you know, too bad. I'm not in control, and so I don't really care. It's not a big deal. I'm already dead. I'm already alive. I'm already whatever. Because the Lord himself shall come down from heaven. This is what I want to teach you today. Because the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with God's trumpet. Now, the minute you hear that trumpet, and it'll be heard all over the world. The minute you hear that trumpet, not in China, you know, it'll be heard everywhere. Everyone will hear this trumpet. And so then you get your not only new heart, you already have a new heart, but you'll also get your new body and your new soul. At once, just the minute that's done, and now you go up to heaven. And you never come back. You'll never, ever, ever, ever come back. Not until the new heavens and the new earth, number eight. Number eight is the last thing after death has been destroyed forever, number eight. That's it. We can't die. Why? Because there's now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who live, what? By the Spirit of God. Why? Because the life that we have, the eternal life that we have in the Spirit, that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. So we don't sin because there's no law. No law, no sin. If there's no rule, if there's no standard, you can't sin. And that's been removed by the promise. I'm living by standing on the promises. Why? Because promises are better than laws. Because the laws make me behave, whereas promises make God keep his word. He made the promise. The promisor is now obligated, if I act on it, to keep his promise to me. I acted, so now he's obligated. He has to do it because he promised, I'll give you a dollar for, you know, your sin or something. I gave it to him, and, you know, what he does with it, that's his problem. But he owes me a dollar. You know, he has to pay up. How many know it's better to have God make a promise than you?
Amen.
You are not a promise keeper. I know there's a whole group out there that are promise keepers, and I've gone to their meetings and so on so forth. But I knew immediately when I heard it, ain't gonna happen. There's nobody that's a promise keeper except God.
Amen.
There's nobody that, I'm going to say it again, I'm not exaggerating. Nobody is an actor in this world except God. Nobody, nobody, nobody. In other words, everything you've done is nothing. Everything you've done is nothing. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
So nothing sounds like nothing. It sounds like everything you've done, man at his best state is altogether
vanity.
It's nothing. It's nothing. You're just the branch in his vine.
Right.
And he did that. You didn't do it. He did that so that you can bear fruit. And the fruit you bear, well, that was him. That wasn't you. So God has done all this so that you can laugh, so that you can rejoice. You can have a good time now. You get heaven now, and then later you get it too. That's kind of cool. Because now you're having a fun time now because you don't do anything. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly of heart because my yoke is easy. Whereas the yoke of the law is too hard. It puts pressure on me to behave. It puts pressure on me to have to live up to some standard. I like even God's law. I don't want to do anything. Jesus kept that law for me.
Praise the Lord.
That's exciting.
Amen.
That's exciting. Did you know you can draw on your bank account with God? If you're one of his, you get to, you know, talk to him and tell him everything. Just be yourself and just say whatever you want to say. He doesn't care. He doesn't know if you're 2 years old or 50 years old. He doesn't care. Just say it however you want to say it. Little 2 years don't think about that. I hope this is pleased with his mom. You know, they don't think about anything. They just talk and they just say things. Mom, can I go to the zoo? You know, they don't think. They're not thinking. They just, heart word, zoo came up. And then the zoo. And you made a promise and you have to keep it. And they won't let you go even if you say, stop it. I'm on the phone with somebody. And they won't let you go. And they just keep tugging on your pants until you do it or skirt or whatever. Now, that's the way kids are. You can be that way with God. He's not even worried about your sin. He already paid for that 2,000 years ago. Amen? So that's first coming. The second coming, number four, second coming is what you're looking for in the future. The second coming, as soon as that comes, you immediately go to heaven. I'm going to read that. Because the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with God's trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise again first. So you see there? The dead in Christ, the two that I just buried, they're going to go first. They're first. And we'll follow after. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to a meeting with the Lord in the air. You'll never be back here. You're not coming back. So, you know, take whatever belongings, you know, yours and hang on to them because you're never coming back. Photographs, all that stuff. I don't know. God must have a little computer thing up there or whatever. It has everything on there. But anyway. With them in the clouds to a meeting with the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord.
Amen.
In other words, once you marry Jesus, and he's taking you up for the marriage supper, happy is the man that's invited to the marriage supper. Everybody has an offer to come to the wedding supper, but only those that are ready will make it. The wise virgins, foolish virgins. The foolish were lukewarm, which is the sin of the Laodicean church. The only sin of the Laodicean church is because you're a Christian, because you're a believer, this is your sin. And I want you to clean this up. You know, pay attention to my counsel to you. I counsel you to get eyes salve and get clothed and all this stuff, because otherwise you're poor, blind, naked. You don't understand anything. Don't be like a fool like that, because you adapted to the lukewarm surroundings in which you live, and you're part of the world and part of me. Can't be. You can't be. You're not ready. So they will be set aside. They will be set aside. Don't worry about their future. But immediately when they come to the Lord, the wedding's over. The wedding's over. And he says, he shut the door. The door is shut. So they're not going to make it. Now you say, well, is there any hope for them? I don't know. I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. It just says that God is merciful. It just says if it's first resurrection, maybe there's a second resurrection. But whatever it is, I don't bank on it. I'm going up on the first load. I'm gonna be on the first load, because when that trumpet sounds, boom, new body, new soul, river. And I don't know about the others. I don't really care about them. That's their own problem, is they're lukewarm. And if they didn't pay attention, I don't know. I don't know how they didn't. But I'm going on the first. So are you all going on the first, where you have to be holy, but he does it? I mean, you don't do it. You don't make yourself holy. All you have to have is this, faith. Faith, faith, faith. Passive. Faith is passive. It's that Jesus is my righteousness. That's it. It's just Jesus is my righteousness. When I get before the judge, I'm going to just say, perfect. How do you plead? Innocent or guilty? Innocent. And I'll look at my lawyer, which is Jesus. Is that good? You know, and he'll say, you're only 4 years old, but it's okay. It's a good one. We'll get married in the next room. And so you're going to be accepted just because you had faith in Jesus. Not because you were good, not because you matured, not because you did anything. He did it. And if he doesn't do it, and that trumpet sounds, and you don't get new clothes, you don't get a new body and a new soul, he goofed up. I don't believe that. I believe that God knows your heart. Nobody else can read hearts. God knows your heart and your soul. He knows the innermost secrets of everything about you. And he knows you're telling the truth or you're lying. So if you say innocent, your faith has to be not in what good things you did. It has to be in what good things he did for you. Perfectly.
Hallelujah.
So that you are absolutely perfect. And there's no way he can ever, ever vote against you. You can always use that scripture. It says, you know, there's no condemnation. No condemnation. And so you can argue with him and he'll win. Because you're written in the Lamb's book of life, not in the other books. You're not in one of the law books. Because there, everybody under the law fails. Nothing is made perfect under a law. Nothing. Nothing. Perfect just means they said what to do, but they didn't have any mercy and they didn't have any power to help you to eliminate all those things. You all have that. You all have that. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit every day, every day, every day, every day. And I don't care how many sins you sin. That's up to God to eliminate that. That's up to God. If you help out, it won't help. So don't help out. No, just let God love you as you are. Amen?
Amen?
So don't be worried about, you know, how well I'm doing. Don't be worried about that. That's not up to you. It's up to God. Either he lies or he tells the truth. Since he told the truth, you can rely on that. You can totally rely that God loves you, Sam. Even knowing everything about you, still loves you. Peter. He loves you exactly as you are. Exactly. You don't have to clean up. Let him clean up. This is a new religion. This is a different... You are a new creation. You're not part of the natural... As a matter of fact, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. I don't know if you know this. But Jews look at you as Gentile, Goy. But you're not a Goy. You're actually neither one. Because you're in Jesus. New creation. And in the new creation, God does everything. So I'd rather be in the new creation than the old creation, which you come under a law. There's no law in ours. Ours is all gospel. Ours is all good news. Everything is good news. Everything is good news.
Hallelujah.
Dora, you know that with your dad. Yeah. You're the only one that knows it. But you know what? You don't need anybody else. If God made a promise, let God keep the promise. If he began a good work, he'll finish it. I don't care what your culture is, what your habits are. It doesn't matter. God has already forgiven you. It's a free gift. Everything else has to be earned. This one is different. This one is different. This is a free gift. So, this idea of being caught up, this is my message today. You're going to be caught up in the air when Jesus comes back. How many want him to come today? I knew almost nobody. You don't want him to come today because you'd like to clean up a little bit. Don't clean up. Leave it. Leave God, all the problems to God. How many know that God can do things that you don't know he's doing? He can love you because he loves everybody, by the way. He loves everybody. He loves everybody.
Amen.
So he can do things in you that you're not even aware of. So let him do it. He wants the burden? Give him the burden. You take the blessing. Give him the burden. Hey, God, is there any more blessings for me? You know, take all the blessings. How many know God wants you to flourish?
Amen.
He's not after you to help him. He's not after you to cooperate with him or be a partner with him or whatever these words that they use. You're not a partner with God. God does it all. He's always done it all. He created you without you. Then he redeems you without you. And then he purifies you without you. And then he perfects you without you. Then he's going to give you the inheritance without you. It's all done by God. You don't have anything to do with it. Except know that God loves you unconditionally. Nobody else. Nobody other God. No, all the other gods don't do that. If you're a Muslim, for example. A Muslim actually has a merciful God if you earn it. But you have to earn it. If you don't chop people's heads off and so on and so forth and do all the other stuff they have to do, you don't earn it. And so they don't make it. Because, you probably don't know this, but Muhammad may well be an Ishmaelite.
Yeah.
Muhammad, and as a matter of fact, he is. But he may well be an Ishmaelite. And in Ishmael, he followed Hagar, his mom, Egyptian. And so, if you want to please the Pharaoh, you have to, bring in four hands of enemies or something to get a gold collar around your neck. The collar that they wear around their neck, male and female, they give that to you if you earn it. So in her religion, you have to behave. In ours, you don't have to behave. You can just be you. I like this. Do you understand what I just said? You can just be you. And God loves you just the way you are, because he loves everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. So, you're going to be caught up in the air with Jesus, and yours is over. Everybody else has to wait till 7, the great white throne. That's after Satan has tried to, capture us in 6, but it didn't work. And that's after there's been 1,000 years, God in the heavens, you and Jesus in the air, the 12 tribes of Israel, which will be ruling over, and they rule over the Gentiles. The Gentiles now will regard the Jewish people as those who deserve to rule over them. Why? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Read Ephesians. You can read Mark. You can read anything. It'll tell you that they are someday going to rule over this earth. Okay? And that's when they do. So we're over them, Jew and Gentile, that makes up the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, we're the righteous ones. A lot of things that you've been taught are not true, and I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just simply saying factually. They're not true. And it's almost impossible for someone to have predicted, even though it's in the Bible, what's happening today because they don't know the Bibles well enough. You haven't learned the language of heaven. In heavenly language, everything is good news. You never make a bad report. You can ask my wife. I never make a bad report. I always have a good report. Always. Why? It's in the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, I do it. Why? It's death to me. It goes against my will. It goes against my emotions. It goes against my thoughts. It goes against everything. So what? Dying daily is the key to living. Unless you're dead, you can't resurrect.
That's true.
Unless you're dead, so he kills you. He kills you. How? By writing in his word. You just read his word every day. Just read it. Don't read it to get something. Just read it. Just read it. It's so good news. It'll just jump out at you. It's like, this is good news. Everything is good news in the Bible for you. So you're having heaven on earth, and then you get heaven. You get the whole thing. But anyway, so you're done here in 4 when you're caught up. And by the way, if you're part of the Philadelphia church, a wise virgin, you will actually be in a land of... Yeah, in a land of Goshen. You'll be sorted away by God during the whole tribulation. You won't even come into the tribulation. Never. It's the greatest trouble that ever came on the earth. It's called Jacob's trouble, but also, though it's Jacob's trouble, it's also the purifying of the sons of Levi. In other words, they'll get their priests back. That's why they're able to rule down there under us. And we'll be ruling, but we just do what Jesus says. If Jesus says, we just do what Jesus says. So it's real easy to be a priest and a king in heaven, because you just do what Jesus says, and whatever the Father says, then Jesus does it. And whenever Jesus does it, we does it. And then that's the perfect way that God created the world. Everyone would be his steward. And for 1,000 years, everyone will be his steward, even people that don't believe. All those Gentiles down there, some may be saved, some not. Some of the Jewish people may be saved, some not. We don't know. There's no clear scripture on that, except this, that when you're a believer, you should pray every day, not only for the brethren, the Christians, but you should also pray for other religions, but you should also pray for your enemies that hate you and despise you and misuse you. I just want you to know, perfect love is perfect love. So I'm never mad at Hillary. I'm never mad at bad people. I'm never mad at anybody. Why? Because God loved me. We love because he first loved us. So, is everybody edified?
Yeah.
Built up? Strong? Because
yep.
You're the building. You're the building he's building. And in that last one, you see this last one? I made a little building down here, and it's a perfect cube. It's 1,500 miles up in the air. 1,500 miles. That is way beyond any airplane or any rocket. It's way, 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 way up there. That's high. And it's breadth and depth and height all the same. Cube. Holy of Holies. That's the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was designed in such a way that would be God's final resting place. That's where the ark is. That's where the Ten Commandments are. And then the mercy seat is on top of that. So God looks at the Ten Commandments through the mercy seat. But he also has the power that enables me to believe in his mercy over the law. So now, his law doesn't condemn me. There's no condemnation. Why? Because of Jesus. I don't even know Jesus. I mean, I know him. But I just know him what's written down. Because I don't really know him. I never saw him. But my whole life is built on not even knowing him or seeing him or having any experience with him except his word. I exalt my word above my name. Wow, that's amazing. All you got to do is read the Bible. You just read the Bible. You can't read the Rig Veda. You can't read anything else. They're all lies. This is the truth. This is the truth. Jesus is the truth that sets you free. You're free today.
Amen.
So, go forth leaping like a calf from the stall. Woo! Glory! It's powerful.
Praise
now, let's have testimonies. Two or three. Okay, second one. How many has testimonies today? I mean, something God has done. Something God has shown you. Not Alex. You're always too eager. Alex is too eager to always share. Amen. Go ahead, Alex.
You know, it's funny how you're sharing about this. What you're saying is a really perfect example to me of what is happening with this Revived Texas thing. Because they're not even, I mean, in a strict way, they're not doing things the way I would want them to do it.
Right.
And I know there's some things that they're doing. They're not even correct. I don't think they're using the right text. All this stuff. But the amazing thing is, and it's really symbolic of us, is God is working with his people. He is moving. And he's working with people. And he's being glorified and magnified because he's a loving father.
Amen.
And he's not an angry judge.
It's powerful.
And it's glorious.
It's powerful.
How he's ministering
it's good.
To him and the lost. The lost and the found.
That's powerful. No, it's good. Good insight. Who else? Testimony. Yes. Sam. Then.
Real quick, I attend every year what they call it's a Gas Processors Midstream Association. It's international. There's anywhere from there's like 2,700 people there, and they're engineers, but they're also vice presidents and business leaders and business in that. And it was really great because every year they have a prayer breakfast. And you have presidents of oil and gas companies and CEOs and people in there. And the godliness that is in there is just amazing. So you see that people who are in business, who take care of people, some of these guys have thousands of, hundreds of thousands of employees, that are being led.
Amen.
Company. They work for a company that's being led by a godly man.
Praise yes.
Lord.
And that's what's awesome, to just sit back and see that and receive that message and wow. Know that God has got his hand on everything.
Too powerful.
Amen.
Too powerful.